True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM, we'll get you all ready for Commanders and Packers. In this segment, we'll give you our best prop bets, our best looks at the side, the total. Jenks has already talked about how big his betting card is going to be, and I cannot wait to ask him about all of his bets on Thursday night. At 7:20, we'll go on to our daily baseball bet. 7:40, Survivor picks for this week in the NFL. It's all coming up next here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Jenks, you know it's going to be an easy segment when I found myself, like this morning as I'm getting ready, like asking myself internally, okay, I have like 17 questions I have ready for Jenks. Because here's the thing.
Okay.
You are not necessarily like a beat reporter for the Commanders, but you do their podcast and you do a lot of stuff for their radio. Mm-hmm. So this is a huge help to bettors. Like, I think it's great advice for whenever you're doing prop bets, especially. Check into the beat writers, like see what is coming out of camp that week or practice or whatever. And I feel like you can find a lot of good angles because a lot of it's going to be game plan stuff. And a lot of it's going to be like, how much usage is this guy going to get? Is Deebo Samuel going to continue to get 10 targets in the passing game? Is he going to be involved in the running game? So, Jenks, I feel very lucky that you are part of the show today and every day, of course.
Wow, thank you. I was like, oh, where are we going with this one?
Just
I feel like today. Today, this one day out of the year, it's good to have you here. I'm like, you know what? I'll take one. So, I mean, it's always good. I think that's a really good point that you're making is that, you know, take advantage of people who are close to the team. They don't necessarily have inside information, but they're closer to the team. So they have a perspective that not the, you know, the layperson has, or even the normal gambler has. You can have a sharp bettor who still maybe doesn't have the, you know, the little details or the minutiae that go into game planning or having talked to the players. There's a lot of great reporters here in D.C. who are close to the team, who do a great job, and I read their stuff. I listen to what Denton has to say. I listen to what, you know, Grant Paulson has to say, or J.P. Finley, or Ben Standing, like a lot of really talented people here, and I want to hear what they have to say about this team, because then I learn, because everybody has, you know, their own connections, people that they talk to. I don't look at it in a competitive way at all. I'm like, I want to absorb as much information as I can so that I'm ready to go, so that I'm prepared, that I'm informed, and ultimately, whenever you're more informed, it's going to make you better when you decide, okay, I think I want to place this bet.
Well, I think just it's from a preparedness standpoint.
Yes.
It's not that like you're taking other stuff away from other people. It's you don't want to miss something. Because the worst thing is when you have like a prop bet on somebody and then you read like 5 minutes after you made a bet is that, hey, this receiver and the quarterback got in a fight this week. You're
right.
Like, oh, well, he's probably not going to get as many targets. So maybe I should have read everything that's available out there. So let's get into this game because I'm really excited about it, and I'm sure you are as well. Commanders-Packers tonight, and we've got a tight line in this one. Line 3.5, Packers home favorites, total of 48 points. So let's start with a side and total perspective. And of course, if you're betting on this game, BetMGM, of course, has you covered. With an Any Sport Parlay Boost token, BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager hits with the Parlay Boost token. Tokens can be used on parlays and same-game parlays, both of which I will be betting tonight because I like a lot of things in this game. All right, Jenks, let's start with who we think wins this game. Because I think when a line is this tight, I think it's anybody's game.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like this game could be a coin flip. And if you're looking at this Commanders team that looked like the cardiac Commanders last year that won a bunch of tight games, I'm not going to sit here and doubt Jaden Daniels. I'm just not. So if you're giving me three and a hook with the Commanders, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And I just feel like a couple of things are going on in this game. Number one is the hook. I think if you're on Green Bay tonight, the hook is the crook. I feel like this is going to be a close game. Also, as good as the Packers look, and I think they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, I also think the Commanders are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And I wonder with the Lions, like everyone was on the Packers and building them up because they had this big win over Detroit, and no question, they look great. I also think with Detroit, they could be a very good football team. Maybe we'll see that midseason because they have the talent. Or just maybe this isn't their year because they lost pieces on the offensive line, because they lost Ben Johnson. So maybe they're not the team that we thought they were going to be. So maybe there's a little bit of value on the Commanders because we're giving Green Bay too much credit. And I just think that for me, what I saw from Washington in game one was so impressive defensively. I cannot hammer this home enough. I know the Packers have Micah Parsons, but the big problem for the Commanders going into this season was, are they going to stop anybody on the ground? Like, are they? Their secondary is completely retooled because Marshawn Lattimore is healthy. They've got Will Harris, who they signed, who has been great. But that defensive line was their real issue. It's been completely redone, and it's just one big boy after another. Javon Kinlaw looks great. I mean, we saw Dorrance Armstrong pressure the quarterback. Deron Payne looks like he's back to his former self from a couple seasons ago. So when you have that defense and a Jaden Daniels offense who now has the addition of Deebo Samuel, obviously Terry is signed, this is so much more of a complete team that I still feel like some people are sleeping on. So if you're giving me 3.5 with the Commanders, I'm going to take this game. I'm going to take Washington, and I feel like that half point is going to be critical.
All right, so obviously I agree with you, but let me speak for the casual fan for just a second, because I think a lot of people see the Commanders defense look good against the Giants and say, it's the Giants.
Fair.
This is going to be a much taller task against a Packers team that can run the ball effectively. So that's where my question starts, is that, like, I believe in the Commanders, but if there were a sabotage factor, it's the fact that the Commanders' run defense was not good last year.
Yeah.
And is it a one-game sample size? And we're saying, oh, you know, the defense is really short up things. Or is it going to be a problem tonight? Because we know Josh Jacobs can be effective if he gets a push from his offensive line. Mm-hmm. So how do you expect the run defense to do tonight? Do you think that it's like somewhere in between? Do you think it's more of what we saw against the Giants? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, worst case scenario, is it the same run defense that was one of the worst in the league last year?
It's definitely different. It's absolutely better. Now, will they look as good as they look against the Giants? No, I don't think so at all. But it's all relative, right? Like, they weren't good against anyone last year. I think late in games, they were, I mean, they were one of the worst rush defenses in the NFL, and I think overall they were 30th. So they weren't just a team that stood out or stood tall against you know, bad rushing teams. They were bad across the board. They just couldn't stop anyone, which is why so many of their games came down to, you know, the last couple minutes. So, yeah, they'll give up more points. They'll give up more yardage than they did against the Giants. Just by nature, the Packers are better. But ultimately, you know, it's all relative. Yeah, they might bend but don't break, but they're still going to be overall a better unit. So I actually like the over in this game, too. We're going to see points on both sides. But I think ultimately what it comes down to is, besides the defense, is look at the quarterback play. And if it comes down to, you know, the last couple minutes of the game, which I think it could, absolutely, I'm going to trust Jaden Daniels to do Jaden Daniels things. So
The Packers are going to get theirs. The Commanders are going to get theirs. I think it's going to be a close game. And then I think Jaden at least keeps it close enough late for the Commanders to cover. But I do understand the concerns, especially when you're talking about, dude, you're talking about one game against the Giants.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about some bets that we have on the card. Sounds like we both are on the same side when it comes to the side. Do you want to go with the total? It sounds like you like the over in this game. 48.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Are you going with the over here?
I am going with the over. I do think that while both defenses are going to get plenty of credit here, and they should, mm-hmm. we'll still see some points. There's just too many playmakers on the field, you know, for both sides, whether it's Josh Jacobs or Jaden Reed. And Jordan Love is a very good quarterback, as we know. And now the Commanders have Deebo Samuel. Now they have Terry McLaurin. Ooh. Austin Eckler, I know he's banged up. He was held out of practice on Tuesday, but short week, he's going to play. There's a lot of offensive firepower on both sides. So the defenses will have their moments. But at 47.5, I think we hit this over late, and that's where my money is going to go. There's just too many dynamic guys who can maybe get to the end zone or make enough big plays for us to get to this total.
Yeah, I think there's too many playmakers. And the fact that it feels to me like the Commanders could score in a hurry if need be. You know, if you're sweating this total at the end of the game, like Jaden Daniels, we've seen it can go down the field. Pretty good at executing that two-minute drill. All right, from a prop standpoint, this is the player I want to ask you about. Because you know, over the course of the last few years on the show, I'm a big Deebo Samuel fan. Like, dating back to, you know, when he was at his peak with the Niners. But you look at some of these numbers, especially, I know it's one game, but he had 10 targets in that first game of the season. And I heard somebody saying this, and I think it's a good angle. The fact that if there is one silver lining from Terry McLaurin having a holdout or hold-in or whatever it was called, is the fact that Jaden Daniels got more time to work with Deebo Samuel. And we saw in the first game, Deebo Samuel had a huge game. So tonight his prop for receiving is 50.5, 4.5 catches. Yeah. I like both of those. Do you think we continue to see a big part of the game plan dedicated to Deebo Samuel?
No question about it. Like, he looked awesome, and I would not be surprised if he's targeted a lot. I think Austin Eckler's going to be targeted a lot. And I think this is a situation, too, where, you know, Cliff Kingsbury is going to be able to open up this offense because, I mean, you can go five wide, and then what they'll do is they'll send Deebo in motion, who's always a running threat, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to account for him immediately because he could absolutely get the football. I mean, he got the football once against the Giants. Took that to the house, 19 yards, touchdown. He looks like the Deebo that we saw in San Francisco, but I think he's going to be used a lot, and he looks so healthy, and he looks like the Deebo of old. I also think because of the Packers' pass rush and the pressure they potentially get on Jaden Daniels, then you're going to see some of these quick passes, which means, you know, they're going to send Terry deep. They have a lot of different types of receivers, and Deebo is one of those guys that you can just send, you know, coming out of the backfield or right across the middle, these quick passes, if Jaden doesn't have time. So I like his over receptions prop set at 4.5. I think it's a good play. Or receiving yardage.
Yeah, I think both of those are good looks. Okay, here's one, and I love these. The props that you can get in one play. Deebo Samuel's rushing prop, 4.5 yards, Jenks.
What?
If he gets one carry, I feel like he's getting this. And I know it's very easy to look at the first game and be like, well, Chelsea, he only got one carry and it had to go for 19 yards.
Yeah.
But 4.5 yards? Also, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets more touches in this game. But I will say this, sabotage factor, there are a lot of mouths to feed in the running game for the Commanders.
Yes.
Jaden Daniels, who's not even a running back, I think his rushing attempts prop is like 9.5. You've got Bill. You've got Austin Eckler. Who else? I feel like they have other guys. McNichols. They have all kinds of running backs. So maybe that's the sabotage factor here. But 4.5 yards for Deebo Samuel rushing, I have to take that.
No, you got to do it. Do it. Yeah, the thing about the Commanders is every running back has a pretty specific role and a unique role because each running back is different. Like Bill Kroski Merritt is the explosive runner. Like, that's the reason why they got rid of Brian Robinson Jr. And then you have Chris Rodriguez. I don't know if he'll be active or not, but he's kind of the bowling ball. Austin Eckler is the guy who can do it all, right? He'll catch passes out of the backfield. He can run the ball. He may work on special teams from time to time, something like that. And then Jeremy McNichols is just a good rotational piece who has been around the organization for a long time. So I think it depends on how you think this game is going to go. But for you know, a guy like Debo, if you're talking about him, and he will get his carries as well, right? Like, he's the perfect guy to disrupt defenses, because you always have to account for him, and you can't just account for him in the passing game. If he's going in motion, it could be an end around, and, you know, all of a sudden everything changes defensively. So, yeah, I like any play on Debo tonight as well.
What player am I missing out on? Because, like, you know, I love Debo. Mm. Is there other X factors that you think need to be talked about here from a prop standpoint?
What do you think? Terry's the guy tonight. In three games against the Green Bay Packers over the course of his career, he's never been better against anybody. He averages 84 yards per game, and he scored in every single game that they played against the Packers. Now, they haven't played him in a while, but there's something about Terry playing the Packers. And on top of that, Terry McLaurin scores a majority of his touchdowns on the road. His career split is 23 touchdowns on the road versus 15 at home. So Terry, after not having a great game last week on Sunday, he's the guy on Thursday Night Football. Jaden's going to look for him. Get Terry anytime touchdown. You can get it, I think, at plus 165 right now, BetMGM. So that'd be something to look into.
Love it. Mm. Should I ask for that earlier?
Says that's the guy that tweeted about Terry McLaurin every single day of the summer.
He so manifested it.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It also should be noted, speaking of matchups, Micah Parsons had 4.5 sacks against Jaden Daniels in two games last year. So that should be a very interesting matchup to watch for as well. All right, coming up next, we'll switch gears to baseball. Our daily baseball plays come your way next here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, going head-to-head with the NFL for Thursday Night Football, not always a fight that baseball is going to win, but listen, like, some of these games start earlier, and if you want to get on some betting action before Thursday Night Football, where you're not just sitting there on the couch just saying, is it football time yet? Is it football time yet? Maybe you get in on some of these games. And Jinx, huge day for DC sports fans. Nationals and Marlins!
Hell yeah!
LOL.
Oh.
How many people are going to Nationals games this time of year?
Oh, God.
I feel like I saw a picture where there was like three people in the stands.
It's terrible. Like, it's embarrassing. People will show, they will post these wide angle lens shots of the crowd. And it's damn near an empty stadium. And I'm not using hyperbole. Somebody, I read and I get the exact figure wrong. But I read a tweet a couple weeks ago that, you know how they always announce the crowd size? That they'll say, today's attendance, 12,845. And they said it was so empty, you could hear someone in the stands go, liar! Which I absolutely believe. I mean, I saw one of my best friends, and I think I told you this, where... I don't know how I ended up with tickets, but he and his wife, Ben and Michelle, and their son, Oliver, and they were right behind home plate. And Ben is a big Green Bay guy. I need to text him. He sent me an article a couple days ago to read. And awesome person. And so there are all these screenshots that our mutual friend Dan was taking, and it's Ben just standing behind home plate,
chugging a beer at one point, waving at the camera, fist in the air, another beer. His wife looking at him like, oh my God, you're being so Wisconsin right now. It was great. And you just, I think part of him just like walked on down because nobody was there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can find value, I suppose, if you want to watch the Nationals play baseball, because that's part of the deal. So you got to watch them against the Marlins. Even though this game is going to be in Miami, but I do think, like, I know this wouldn't happen, but I do think I appreciate it when teams of different sports have the self-awareness to realize that there are other games going on. Like, when they do this pregame, when they, like, show, like, big games that are, like, you know, an NFL game for that specific team. So I know this is going to be, like, during their game, but if they had just one of the video boards showing the Commanders game and be like, listen, we'll give you a good deal, we have good snacks, you can watch it in, like, a community environment, just come to the Nats game and we'll put on the Commanders game.
That's probably the way to do it. See it on the big screen. We've got food deals here, right? Like, here you do. We got a baseball game here, but on the big screen, Commanders action, right? You get some random cheering. You put some butts in the seats. It's not the worst idea I've heard. I mean, of course, the players will be like, what in the hell is going on? And there'd be some blowback. But honestly, I kind of feel like it's not a bad call. I'd do it.
I mean,
beautiful
would
day.
You rather watch Brad Lord pitch against the Marlins, or do you want to watch Jaden Daniels?
Criminy. Obviously, Brad Lord.
But, I mean, obviously, right?
I mean, obviously, but it's Brad Lord. But yes, you're not wrong. The Nats right now are just... I mean, the crazy thing is they do have some really, you know, potentially great talent and some young guys. It's just
James Wood.
James Wood's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He's a unit. The guy's been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
One of those guys who is worth the price of admission, but, you know, don't get me started. Like, the learners just have zero commitment to winning right now.
Well, I will say this. This, from a betting standpoint, Nationals Marlins has been an over betters dream. Like, we went back and forth on this game yesterday, and we said, what are they doing hanging an eight on this game? So I do think the pitching matchup is a little better today. So maybe that's where the reservations start. But it's not like Brad Lord is Paul Skeens here.
Brad Lord.
5-8 with a 4.20. God, I'm sorry for the secondhand slander, Brad Lord. I'm sure he is a nice guy. 5-8 this year, though, with a 4.20 ERA. Ryan Weathers goes for the Marlins. He's been decent, 1-1, 3.28 ERA. If you remember, I think he came over from the Padres in a trade. Total of 8 in this one. As I mentioned, Miami short favorites at home at -125. Washington +105, if you're a fan of the Lord. Jenks, is it another over in this game? Or do the factors not quite align as much as they did yesterday?
I don't think they align like they did yesterday. Man, I needed this one. There's nothing where I had 4 games on the card. And, of course, for the purposes of this show, we generally track wins and losses and not unit sizes, or our bets would be different. We've been pretty transparent about that. But there's nothing worse than losing your first 2 games and being like, dude, am I headed for an 0-4 tonight? Thank God. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, this is not trending well for me. But I got a couple wins late. Nats Marlins was not trending well, but then the over hit like I thought it was going to. I actually, and I'm going to bet on this game, I like the Marlins on the money line at -125. And the problem with this is, of course, you're betting on a bad team, right? But here's the thing. If you look at this matchup, this pitching matchup, I think it's a big mismatch. Like, Brad Lord was good last time out against the Cubs, okay. But before that start, he'd given up 17 earned in 12 and two-thirds innings. Like, he hasn't been good. And Ryan Weathers, before his injury, really good. 1-1, 3.28 ERA. So he's back up in the majors after a rehab stint. But he made 5 starts in the minors, had an ERA of 2. So I think this is a cheap price on fading Brad Lord. So I'm going to go Marlins on the money line.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust the Marlins enough to bet on him, but if there were a side, like Ryan Weathers, like I mentioned, came over, I think he was a guy in the Padres organization, so like he does have a background of success and maybe the better pitcher in this matchup, but again, like I don't really want to trust these two teams. I will say, bad beat for you on, maybe it's not a bad beat, but like I was listening to that Brewers and Rangers game, and Freddy Peralta balked in a run, and I was like, uh-oh. Like, whenever the pitcher starts balking in runs, you know, first 5 under, I was like, this is not Freddie Peralta's best. So I feel for you. I was listening to that game, but it was a good bet. I would have been with you on that one. All right. Elsewhere on the card, Jenks, I feel like people are going to be mad, but I'm betting on the Phillies again. This is my old reliable. But today you got the Mets and the Phillies squaring off. And this game is in Philly. Because if this game was at Citi Field, we know the Phillies have not been good against the Mets on the road. But the Phillies at home, man, they have been a wagon. And if you get the Phillies at under minus 150, I feel like it's a play for me. Jesus Luzardo has turned a corner over his last few starts. He's looked really good. And the Phillies offense, top five any way you slice it at home over the last month. Because the Mets do have some good bats. I will say this. Over the last month in baseball, they have the best WRC plus in baseball. Okay. But David Peterson doesn't scare me quite as much. 9-5, 3.83 ERA. His numbers are good, but he's not a top-of-the-rotation guy. So it's going to be the Phillies for me today at minus 145.
Well, I would normally tell you on this, but right now I have six bets on the card. They're all kind of juicy. Oh. So I know I'm like, all right, Mickelson, why don't you chill out a little bit? But I do like the play. I think the Phillies are the right side. I mean, there's part of me that does want to add it and just go for broke here, but I think your analysis is spot on. And I mean, look, forget about whether or not it's I keep going back to the same team. Like, who cares? You're winning your bets. You're undefeated this week. You've had a good few weeks, actually. If my memory serves me correctly, I'm knock on wood. So you know what? Who cares? If they're winning, they're winning. If you're betting the same team, same guy, same prop, doesn't matter. If they're winning, they're winning. Money's money.
Yeah, it's Groundhog Day. But listen, it's just too easy to make a case for the Phillies. At home this year, 48-23. As favorites, 70-44. I mean, come on, man. Then you look at the Mets, who are an absolute tailspin right now. They've lost five straight games, including the first three games of this series to the Phillies, where they have scored a total of six runs in all three of those games. Mm. So it's not an offense that scares me at the moment. Philly has the better starter here, in my opinion. And the Phillies have won six of their last seven. And Juggernaut's at home. So the Phillies, yeah, I'm going to take them. All right, free roll, Jenks. Is there another game that caught your eye you think we need to talk about?
My bets are so garbage today. Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to go first five under five Pirates Orioles, which I know when we see a five, it's like, what are we doing here? It's minus 150. You've got Johan Oviedo going up against Cade Povich. Now, hear me out. So, Oviedo has been great. Like, I thought when he was starting this season and got into the rotation, he was going to be really bad. I kind of like the Pirates at plus money, too. But he's not going to go long. His longest season outing is five innings. But he's only given up five earned in his last 19 innings pitched. And he's faced the Brewers, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays during that time. Teams that can hit the ball. And he shut them down. Cade Povich going for the O's. Ooh, okay. 13 runs in his last 19 2/3. Not terrible, but the Pirates are so bad in the first five. They're so bad. And also the Orioles on the road, bottom 10 in the first five. So the fact that we can get a five here, which I know you think, oh, God, that generally has not treated us well. But I see money coming in on the full game under. So I think I'm going to go first five under five here.
I think a lot of this has to do with the Pirates' offense. They have scored two runs or fewer in five straight games.
Yeah.
Last night, they made Tyler Wells look like Paul Skenes.
They're terrible.
He gave up one hit through 6 2/3. One hit. That's all the Pirates could muster against Tyler Wells, which no offense to Tyler Wells, but he is not a Cy Young winner. So that's the thing. Even if you don't trust Cade Povich, which I don't, and we've faded him a lot on the show, it's just the Pirates' offense is terrible, and especially in the first five innings. Second fewest run scored in the first five innings of play. So I think from a logic and numbers standpoint, you can make a great case for that bet. I don't think it's garbage at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I know it's a little pricey. I know it's okay, it's a five, and those generally are like, five, first five. But man, I had the same handicap as you, which is, okay, yeah, Povich I'm not going to back, but against the Pirates, yeah, I'll back him with that number.
Yeah, if there's ever a time for Cade Povich to like maybe pad the stats for himself a little bit, it's against the Pirates offense. And plus, this is a daytime game, so maybe a little sleepy spot for a Pirates offense that really hasn't had much bite. I will say from a watching perspective, couple games that could be interesting. Astros and Blue Jays. The AL West right now is going to go down to the wire. I know the Astros going wire to wire with the Mariners. So this is a big game for the Astros. I know the Blue Jays are hanging on to the top spot in the American League. If you're interested in betting on this game, Toronto minus 150, Houston plus 125, total of 8.5 runs. Christian Javier goes for Houston today, 1-2, 4.43 ERA. Meanwhile, it's Kevin Gausman that goes for Toronto, 9-10 with a 3.63 ERA. And Jenks, I think this has been an angle for us before. Yeah. Kevin Gausman generally better at home. This Astros offense is very streaky. Like, sometimes they look amazing. Other times, they just can't string together runs. Even last night was like a low-scoring affair. The Astros did win that game, 3-2. I don't know. The Astros are not a trustworthy team to me. But I'll say this. Like, obviously, they're fully capable of beating the Blue Jays. We saw that last night. But I would lean towards Toronto here.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on the card. Let's go, Blue Jays.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Let's get it to 10.
Let's go. Let's keep going.
Making an even 10.
Kevin Gausman is... He's... Oh, reliable, you know, just week in and week out. You look at his splits, they're about the same. I know he doesn't have the wins to show for it, 9-10, but the 3.63 ERA. And Christian Javier has looked good this season, but he hasn't been going long in games. We don't have a big sample size with him. He has one road start this season. So he went to Baltimore, gave up 3 earned in 2 innings. And look, historically, Kevin Gausman has a lot of great splits against individual hitters in this Astros lineup and the Blue Jays at home. Not his favorites, just outright 46-25. So it's minus 150. I see this price continuing to go up at other books. I think minus 150 in Toronto behind Gausman is definitely making the card.
Yeah, I like that as well. And then I want to throw this in quickly and... I want to make sure I approach this with enough like sensitivity because obviously today is a tragic day. September 11th, it is a big day for our country and also especially in the city of New York. The Yankees have a game tonight. Trump's going to be there. He's already announced this. And again, like I don't want to look at this from an insensitive standpoint because obviously there are much bigger things to talk about today than betting on the Yankees. But I think, you know, the vibes in New York are going to be different tonight. And I know the Yankees are minus 170, but if you're betting on this game, keep that in mind. Like, it is going to be a much different atmosphere at Yankee Stadium tonight, so I just wanted to throw that in there.
I think that's a very good point. I mean, I don't know how much you can put that into a tangible bet, but certainly it's going to be one of those things where certainly, you know, sports is secondary to what everybody is going to be feeling. At the same time, you have to think the Yankees and everyone in New York is going to be very inspired, wanting to play well and put on a good show, just, you know, because of all the memories involved and because it is such an important day to remember.
Yeah, it's a tough time in our country to, like, stick to sports.
Yeah.
We're going to try to do that, but obviously try to be sensitive to a tragic day to a lot of people today. All right, coming up next, we'll get to our Survivor plays in the NFL this week. Next on The Daily Tip.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the Daily Tip with Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
We're back on a Thursday as we are careening towards week two in the NFL. In this segment, we get to our survivor plays. And Jenks, listen, I feel like this was a tough week to look down the slate and feel good about some of these survivor plays. We'll get to those plays in just a minute. But I don't think I've ever seen a headline involving Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick, and I had like a good reaction. Like, I feel like there is a meme of, I think it's Clint Eastwood, who I think it's like in The Mule or something, where he like looks really old and he's just making this disgusted face. We're just like, it's like the same face I was making every time they showed like the YouTubers on the Chiefs and Chargers broadcast. They're like, and now Mr. Beast. And you're just like, I don't want to see these people. It's the same reaction that I get every time we see a headline surrounding Jordan Hudson. So here's the newest headline if you're interested. So Miss Hudson has been on a trademark rampage. She has been filing for all these trademarks because, you know, she's a businesswoman. But she's been denied on four requests. She requested these four things from the U.S. Patent Office. Quote, do your job, parentheses, Bill's version. Ignore the noise, parentheses, Bill's version. The Bellustrator, Bill's version. And no days off, Bill's version. So, parlaying off of what Taylor Swift did, where she did like Taylor's version. What are we doing here? Like, just be quiet for just like a little bit. Like, I have wanted to root for her, and I feel like I've given her a lot of benefits of the doubt, but like, I don't know, just take a few minutes. Just take some time off.
Take
just relax.
A beat.
Go to the concession stand.
She just feels like a grifter to me. Like, just a straight up grifter. You know? She dates Bill Belichick. She buys up all this real estate. She's starting, what, her gold digger line of jewelry. Now she's trying to trademark things. Like, this is just one big grift for her. Like, how much money can I make off of this time with Bill Belichick, you know? And so I'm kind of glad to see this denied. Like, somebody needs to just put her in check for just a little bit. It's just, this is one big money-making venture for her. That's all it is.
I think the trouble and what I worry about for like the next generation is that this is pretty much the culture that we see on social media everything is for money. Everybody is doing ads. Like, a bad example the other day was there was an influencer who is a fitness influencer and her house burned down. Very sad, obviously. So she does this long video about her house burning down. And then at the end, she's like, I wouldn't be recovering the way that I am if it wasn't for this protein shake. And I'm thinking to myself, you're telling me you did a whole video about us feeling sorry for you that your house burned down, all for it to be an ad for a protein shake. And that's the thing. Like, people's their moral compass and their internal, like, you know, radar is just way off. To where they think everything needs to be a money-making venture. And I understand that's what makes America great, is that everybody hustles and everybody wants to make money. But, like, there's a line.
It's either I'm trying to make money or look at me, look at me, look at me. You know, the number of people I see take something and say, how can I manipulate this topic?
Make this about me.
Yes. Like, I saw someone who was dressed pretty provocatively or didn't have a lot of clothes on. And then the camera zooms in and it's like, while I have your attention, free Palestine. I'm like, I don't think you're doing a whole lot here to help what's going on. I'm not trying to be political. I'm just saying, like, you're using a very serious topic to say, look at me. Or people who do that same thing where they'll take it and twist it and turn it into some sort of sell. So it's kind of a...
it's a disappointing thing to see because, like I said, not everyone needs a platform, but people don't necessarily use it for reasons that I think are above board.
Well, the problem is, like, look at how many people probably like that post. Like, maybe she gets a few, like, comments. They're like, hey, maybe don't make this all about you. But, like, the problem is we are not giving them the negative feedback that they need to the extent where they stop doing it. Like, we need more negative reinforcement. Somebody's got to be like, hey, we're not going to follow you. Because that's the problem. Like, people love to complain about, like, the internet celebrities that are famous. They're like, oh, this person's terrible. People used to do this with the Kardashians. But it's like, somebody's liking their posts. Somebody is following them. And that's the problem, is that we keep reinforcing it. So nobody knows that, like, what they're doing is probably not the best thing to do.
Well, it's like the old thing when Howard Stern just got started in radio, and they did research, and it was like, the people who love you listen for, I forget the numbers, for an hour. The people that hate you listen for like 2.5. It was just like the original, like, you know, I hate this person, but I'm going to continue to engage. And you see it now just in a different form.
Yeah, Skip Bayless is being like pointing at the screen somewhere and be like, hey, that's me.
What about me?
All right. So hopefully you're not hate watching our show. But if you do want to listen to all 3 hours, we would love that. All right. So now it's time to get to our favorite Survivor plays in the NFL this week.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
There can be only one.
Who will survive?
All right, Jinx. As I mentioned, I feel like it was an especially tough week for Survivor plays. Because normally there are a couple that like stand out. And you're like, oh, easy. We're just going to go with that team. But in general, I don't love picking divisional games. Because I feel like those can go either way. I don't love picking road teams. So that kind of knocked out some teams out of the equation for me. But let me ask you, did you have issues trying to find a Survivor pick this week?
It wasn't as easy as last week, that's for sure. But I made it pretty simple. I'm just going to go Cowboys over Giants here. You know? Like, the Giants are a bad football team. The Cowboys look better than expected. And also, this is a team that I think we were maybe down on because of the whole Micah Parsons thing, but it's their home opener, so I'm just going to make it Cowboys over Giants at home.
Ah, I can see that one. Again, like, I think I like that one. It's just tough for me to look at divisional games because I think you make a strong case for the Ravens, but they're playing the Browns. They are the biggest favorites of the week. All right, so with some of that in mind, I'm going to go with Arizona this week. I'm going to go with the Cardinals at home over the Panthers. In general, I like picking home teams. Listen, I'm not sitting here and making a case for the Cardinals to win a Super Bowl. I just think at home they can win this game. They didn't look dominant against the Saints of all people, but that was a road game and they still picked up the win. And I believe they still cover the number as well. So the Panthers, I think, are a decent team. Maybe they cover the 6.5 here, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals to win outright as the Panthers have a long trip out west and the Cardinals get to play at home. All right, David, I like this. You are back to going with some underdogs for Survivor plays. Who you got this week?
I am taking the New Orleans Saints, and here's why. If not now, when? When? When would you take them?
Never.
Other than this week? Once again, Brock Purdy, probably not playing. George Kittle is out. Jennings is questionable. CMC has a calf issue. To me, this lines up perfectly for New Orleans to go in there and shock the world. I will go with it. I'm going New Orleans Saints this week.
Ooh, a brave man. Braver than I am.
Brave. Very brave. Very brave. Double D. Get behind Double D, the bravest of all.
All right, Dylan. Looks like you're a little less brave with your pick. Who you got?
Yeah, not nearly as brave as a pick here, as they're a double-digit favorite. But I'm going with the Ravens to win this week. I just see no scenario in which the Ravens start this season 0-2. And they're going against the lowly Browns. I mean, don't really have to sell you on much more than that. But if you look at the Ravens' offense from last week, they're absolutely crushing. Bills have a good rush defense, and that's pretty much the only thing the Browns have going for them. So that kind of neutralizes that. So I just don't even see a scenario where Cleveland covers this game.
Ooh. I feel like there's one game from last year in which the Ravens had no business losing, and I think I picked them in Survivor that week, and they lost to somebody they had no business losing to. I don't know what that game was, but I don't know. It stands tall in my mind. So, like, the Ravens, sometimes I think played. Yeah, I think I played him in Survivor. I think there was like a last minute field goal, if I'm remembering correctly. But my point being is that I feel like sometimes the Ravens play down to the level of their competition. So I'm not saying they lose. I'm just saying, like, all those points in a divisional matchup, I'm not so sure. All right, Denton, you're anchoring here. Who you got?
I am in the same boat as Jenks. I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys over the New York Giants. Pretty simple process here. The Giants suck. End of process. Find teams that suck. Target them in Survivor. Very, very easy. On top, like, their coach is having issues right now. I don't think that Brian Daboll wants to be there anymore. And their quarterback is not very good. I don't think that Jackson Dart would be all that much better, to be honest. But Russell Wilson is a shell of himself. So I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to be spitting their way to a win.
Nice.
A couple of Commanders fans rooting for the Cowboys. What a bizarre feeling.
You know,
right?
More rooting against the Giants, you know, perspective.
Oh, true. Yeah, I'm interested to see what the Cowboys look like, because I will say, like, for a first week matchup going against the Eagles, like, that's a tough one. So if they can look like a semblance of like what they looked against that defense, they should be slinging it, right?
I mean, you would think so, right? I don't know. I think so. I think so. I'm just praying for Double D right now.
Oh, we're all praying for the Saints. I will say this. Like, I was all about fading Spencer Rattler in the first week of the season.
He looked all right.
But he went over. Yeah. He went over his passing yardage prop. So, like, I'm not saying that, you know, he's the next Tom Brady, or should I say the next J.J. McCarthy. but, I mean, he has had some experience. So maybe it's a buy low spot on the Saints. I'm worried about the Niners, but I don't think I'm worried about them enough to lose to the Saints. So David's always with the gutsy pick, but we'll see how it pans out. We'll see if it works out for him, Cotton. But yeah, Survivor plays. Did we all win last week? Do we know?
I believe we did all win last week. I thought I wrote them down and then the note vanished, but I believe we all won last week.
Well, let's just leave it at that.
All right,
we
good.
Don't need notes.
Done. That's all we need
we
to know.
Won. Trust me, bro.
Just trust me, bro.
That's fine.
Come on, we got this.
That's better than last year. I feel like I think I was one of the people that lost in the first week last year, if I'm not mistaken. I remember the Bengals lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
That was a big one last year. So at least we made it through 1 week of the season, at least, in Survivor. We're on to week two. Look at us. All right, hour three is next. We'll get you started with everything you need to know about the Packers. Marcus Eversole of 105.7 The Fan in Green Bay stops by. That's next.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.